The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Number one, I have nothing to do, as you know, and as she knows better than anyone, I have nothing to do with Project 2025. That's out there. I haven't read it. I don't want to read it purposely. I'm not going to read it. This was a group of people that got together. They came up with some ideas, I guess some good, some bad, but it makes no difference. I have nothing to do. Everybody knows I'm an open book. Everybody knows what I'm going to do. Cut taxes very substantially and create a great economy like I did before.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. There's some good in it, some bad in it. I don't know what it is. Nothing to do with me. What is he actually talking about? He's talking about Project 2025. So this has been mentioned kind of tangentially by guests on this show over the last few weeks, but we've never really explained what it is. Lorcan Nyhan is with me. He's head of training at the Communications Clinic, columnist with the Sunday Independent as well. Lorcan, what is it?
Project 2025, it's a policy playbook as well as a plan to implement that policy. Okay. If we take the policy playbook piece first, US politics is full of think tanks that pulls out policy, that pulls out documents that here's what should happen. So in some ways, this is what this is, and it has a long history. The Heritage Foundation is the one that's running it. It puts out a policy playbook called the Mandate for Leadership, 900 page document. It's a big old tome, but they've done it since Reagan. So okay. They gave this policy playbook to Reagan as well. They were smart enough back then to not publicize it and to give it to him after he was president. And he implemented about 60-65% of the recommendations in it. So a lot of Reagan's agenda was this conservative think tank gave him what a conservative president should do, and he did it. They've done it every single year since. They did it in 2016. Trump implemented slightly more of his version than Reagan did of his. And Trump was very proud of that when it was said to him, because he loved being compared to Reagan and very proud of it.
Yeah.
So in some ways, it's just an armed policy platform. But it also has an extra agenda when you're talking about Project 2025, in that they're not just putting out this document this time. They've got three other pillars that are involved: hiring people so they're ready to roll into the Trump administration and actually implement some of the policies. Okay. And unlike a normal think tank, there's a huge, huge amount of ex-Trump officials who are running this, and it's kind of the entire conservative organizations feed into it in some way. So it is much more linked to Trump than, let's say, a normal think tank would be.
Okay, but setting that aside, the way you describe it and it's kind of its previous iterations might suggest it's not that controversial. Why is it proving to be controversial?
It's proven to be controversial, I think, for three reasons, let's say. Number one is because of that link to Trump, so it does seem like more of his agenda than otherwise. Number two, it's controversial because of what's written in it, and we can delve into that, and also their plans for making sure it happens. And number three, it's controversial because the Democrats have decided this is a pretty good way of trying to make people scared of Trump's agenda. So that's why it's controversial, because they want it to be controversial.
So let's talk about what's in it then. What does this promise to do?
It promises to do, you know, 900 pages worth of stuff.
Okay, maybe not all 900 pages.
You don't want me to go on to page 602.
I thought 603 was better. Yeah.
It promised to do a couple of things that Trump has said that he will do. It's promised to do things like close the Department of Education. That's in the Republican platform. Republicans have always talked about closing the Department of Education. Some of the moves around immigration and the mass deportation that have become kind of unusual now because we hear it so much, even though it's actually quite extreme. And then it does go further. It talks about closing down the Department of Homeland Security. Wouldn't be overly popular with Republicans to talk about that. The National Weather Service, that has big plans for ban and criminalise pornography in those who share it, ban or reverse the FDA approval for the abortion pill to make access for that more difficult. Talks about the biblical family. You know, it talks about a lot of the kind of real hardcore conservative ideas within it. And then it also has this thing called Schedule F that Trump said he would do as well. That's one of the more interesting aspects to it, because Schedule F is something that will turn a lot of current civil servants into political appointees. So currently there are political appointees who can be fired at will, and there are civil servants who run the government. What Schedule F will do is that it will turn civil servants who are involved in policy in like the EPA or the Department of Justice and make them political appointees, which means that Trump could say, "You're blocking me, out you go."
So for kind of to give an Irish example, it would make you kind of the secgens of your department, for example, or kind of senior civil servants in departments, political appointees. A new government comes in and they get rid of the top layer of the civil service and put in their own guys.
And so, you know, we'd be used to hear ministerial advisors, they go in and out with the government.
They go in and out.
The secgen is there. The secgen says to Pascal Donoghue, "We don't agree with what you're doing." And Pascal says, "Fine, out you go. I'll bring in my own person." So Trump signed an executive order in the last few weeks of his presidency to bring in the Schedule F. Biden got rid of it. They're obviously now saying we'll bring that back. And therefore, that will allow us get around what they call in this document the administrative state, who they really, really dislike, which is the likes of the departments, the likes of the EPA, that they say are undemocratic because they get in the way of their agenda.
And is there a cohesive philosophy that informs this, or is it kind of a mismatch? Because some of it kind of sounds almost libertarian. You know, we'll take apart the various government departments, we'll allow kind of states to come up with their own rules, we'll allow individuals to kind of make their own educational choices. Yet at the same time, they're happy for the federal government to intervene on other fronts.
Yeah, they say that there is an ethos, and if you bring it down, they say, look, it sounds like we're describing lots of problems. They say this in the document, but really there are only two issues facing America. Number one, we're not taking China seriously enough, and we should put all of our foreign policy resources into pushing back against China on a trade level as well. And then number two, it's the administrative state who's bringing in the woke agenda. They talk a lot about the woke agenda within this, and so it's that administrative state that the Democrats have given all of the power to civil servants and taken it away from the presidency. They want to bring more of the power back to the presidency, which is, look, an old school Republican idea.
Okay, so how much of this is legal? How much of it could they do? I mean, are they entitled to kind of replace the civil service with political appointees? Let's imagine for a moment that what the Democrats say is true. We'll talk about whether it is in a moment or not, but let's assume it is, and that Donald Trump is absolutely behind this and he's going to try and implement it all. How much of it gets snarled up in the courts?
Well, part of what they want to do within this is to make that more difficult. So that's part of the plan. I think the vast majority of it they could get done. Trump would actually ultimately do it. I mean, Trump has, you know, previously had comments that he's supportive of this. But I mean, Trump does say a lot of things.
He says a lot of things.
And Trump, you know, purposefully wanted the Republican platform to be as vague as possible and as light as possible on detail. So I imagine he is livid. He's livid, I mean, number one, because you don't detail your plans in this way. And number two, he hates looking like a puppet, and they're trying to make him look like a puppet and bring it through.
So I wager he hates the idea of reading 900 pages as well on some level.
I mean, I would say in many ways the fact that he said...
He's got an audiobook it.
Yeah, the fact that he said that he hadn't read it, I would believe him. But genuinely, the third line of this entire document it says, indeed, one set of eyes reading these passages will be those of the 47th President of the United States. So they're pretty baldly, openly saying Trump will read this. I mean, it's a long old document. He won't have read it, but...
he never will.
I think the hope here was that they would bring this in without anybody really talking about it. I think what has hit them is that the entire Republican movement, they got very, very arrogant. They saw Joe Biden, they saw the victory, they thought that they had this, and so they said, we can start almost swan diving over the line.
Having people ready, they were planning. They were already planning.
They were planning, but you're supposed to plan in secret, I think was what a lot of the Republicans would now say to them. You're not supposed to show your workings. Because last time they were phenomenally unprepared. Nobody, including the Trump administration, really thought that Trump was going to manage it. All right. So famously, Jared Kushner walked in to the Obama administration when they started and said, how many of ye guys are sticking around? Like, how many of your staff do we get to keep? And they said, none of us. We all walk away with the president. This is your job now. Ye won this. So they were very unprepared. This is an attempt to be more prepared. And I suppose a good analogy for it is last time one of the conservative groupings, I might get on the Federalist Society or the Federalist or something similar, they had a plan for judges. They had a plan that if the Republicans get in, here are the judges you appoint, here's where you appoint them, here's how you go about it.
Yeah.
That plan worked. I mean, that's one of the really successful things from a Trump point of view. They got a significant amount of their judges across the line, which obviously in America is weirdly consequential. So this is an attempt to do that, but for the entire government and the entire policy platform.
That is it. Project 2025. You now know what people are referring to when they refer to it. And all 900 pages available to be read if you want. Lorcan Nyhan, Head of Training at the Communications Clinic, columnist at the Sunday Independent. Lorcan, thanks a million for joining us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.